From WYLL's Illinois Newsroom, this is 217 Today. I'm Farrah Anderson. It's Friday, May 19th. Coming up, we'll learn more about how graduating seniors in Northern Illinois feel after much of their high school experience was paused due to COVID. That story is coming up in just a few minutes. But first, these headlines. Today was supposed to be the last session day for Illinois lawmakers, but as Alex Degman reports, it'll take a bit longer to push a state budget over the finish line.
Lawmakers missed a key deadline to move budget bills. Any measure that passes out of one chamber needs to be read in the other on three different days, and so far that hasn't happened. Budget discussions have intensified in recent weeks, with both the governor's office and the legislature's forecasting arm revising next year's revenue estimates downward. At the same time, lawmakers are grappling over health care for undocumented immigrants. Proponents want to expand the Medicaid-style program to cover adults 19 and older, but multiple projections show the program already costs far more than expected. Lawmakers technically have until June 30th to approve a budget, though if they go into June, the voting threshold required for passage gets higher. I'm Alex Degman.
Illinois lawmakers passed a measure yesterday that would allow unlimited punitive damages in wrongful death lawsuits. Republicans and business groups opposed the bill. Punitive damages are payments a guilty party is ordered to pay on top of compensation to victims. GOP Senator Jill Tracy said unlimited damages will drive business out of Illinois.
We can all agree that Illinois needs good employers. We need to thrive economically.
But Democratic Senate President Don Harmon said putting limits on damages can lead to immoral decisions by businesses.
But imagine someone sitting in a corporate boardroom saying, we can kill 127 drivers before it's more expensive to recall the car than it is to simply pay the capped punitive damages.
The measure now heads to the governor. A 27-foot-tall replica of the Statue of Liberty arrived at her new home in Sauget, Illinois yesterday after a 1,000-mile cross-country journey. Sarah Fentum reports the statue will be installed at the National Building Arts Center in the Metro East.
The statue, called Little Liberty, was made more than a century ago and for the last 20 years has been at the Brooklyn Museum. That museum now focuses on other types of art and gave the 8,500-pound piece to the National Building Arts Center for free. Michael Allen is the director of the museum, which collects historic building artifacts. He says he hopes once the statue is placed on a custom 20-foot pedestal, it will attract visitors to learn about preservation.
So having this likeness is a boon for any institution that's calling itself the home of where you can learn about the nation's building traditions, but it's also a very interesting example of pressed metal.
Allen says the statue attracted attention as it traveled down Interstate 70, with people posting pictures of Little Liberty on Reddit and other social media platforms. I'm Sarah Fentum, St. Louis Public Radio.
A bipartisan bill putting line-of-duty pensions for campus police on the same level as municipal police has been sent to Governor Pritzker's desk. Illinois Newsroom's Jim Meadows reports.
The bill raises disability pensions for public university and community college police officers from 50% of salary to 65%. Chief sponsor, Republican State Senator Chapin Rose of Muhammad, says he's sorry his original Democratic partner on the bill died before its passage.
I need to say a big thank you to my longtime friend Scott Bennett, who has unfortunately since passed. But he and I started working on this together last year as a bipartisan initiative.
Bennett of Champaign died unexpectedly last December at age 45. Rock Island Democrat Mike Halpin took his place as Rose's first co-sponsor. The bill passed both legislative chambers unanimously. I'm Jim Meadows, Illinois Newsroom.
Still to come, we'll learn more about how the COVID-19 pandemic affected the high school experience of graduating Illinois seniors. That story is next on 217 Today.
One of the greatest novels in the English language comes to masterpiece in an adaptation of Henry Fielding's Tom Jones. Solly McLeod stars as Tom, with Sophie Wilde as Sophia, the beautiful heiress and object of his infatuation. This stellar cast brings mid-18th century England to life in all of its passion, luxury, and loose morals. You can stream every episode now as a friend of WILL. Learn more at will.illinois.edu/passport.
This is 217 Today. I'm Farrah Anderson. It's graduation season for the class of 2023. They were freshmen just starting high school when the pandemic hit. Peter Medlin asked Northern Illinois seniors if they feel like the pandemic defined their high school experience.
When the class of 2023 walks across the stage to get their diploma with family and the crowd, it's not a moment they'll take for granted, because they saw their friends and siblings miss those moments early in the pandemic. Garrett Pertel and Ryan Dickinson are seniors at Amboy High School. And when they think back to the spring of 2020, freshman year, they think about baseball practice. The season had barely started, and they learned this would be their last practice before a two-week break because of COVID. Pertel says, honestly, everyone was pretty thrilled about the break.
I could just remember everybody talking about it, so excited I'd have 2 weeks off and then coming back. But then, yeah, we never came back.
He's not alone. Maddox Shockey, the senior class president at Freeport High School, remembers that funny feeling.
Then the excitement slowly turning into a loss of hope and then almost dread.
In some ways, it feels like yesterday. But it also kind of feels like 10 years ago. Students like Samanok senior Whitney Andrews went from finding their footing in high school to remote learning overnight with her brothers playing music in the other room while she tried to focus in on a Zoom.
And so when I had my audio on, everyone just heard the music and because I was called on to answer, and I was so embarrassed.
They all spent time learning remotely, and for all four seniors, the most difficult part of that first spring at home was mustering the motivation to even try, because schools had instituted a hold harmless where their grades couldn't go down. Maddox remembers silent classes, his friends all with their cameras off while the teacher put up a PowerPoint presentation.
I tried to be a camera on guy, but I did have my days where I was like, man, I really don't want to do this today. I tried to participate because I knew that by participating, I'd help out the other people in my class.
It felt like almost everyone was either on their phone or PlayStation. They were all also just trying to stay connected with their friends. And mental health was and is a struggle for a lot of teenagers. And all the seniors said they thought their schools did a decent job making support staff and resources available. They all went back in person at some point during their sophomore year, first in a hybrid schedule and then totally. And now they've been in person for the better half of 2 years now. It feels normal, but Dickinson says he still feels the impact of the pandemic academically.
I feel it like every day in math. It's hard not having like that teacher right there with you. So math, like I was kind of lazy and I would just like take a picture and ask someone for answers instead of trying to learn it. So today I struggle in math more because of it.
Overall, they agreed that COVID absolutely defined the first half of their high school experience. And Maddox says the second half has been about picking up the pieces and reclaiming it.
The thing that has been most difficult for me has been restoring those relationships that I lost over the pandemic. Just putting myself back out there, not being afraid to be who I am. And I will admit, I changed during the pandemic, just finding out who I was outside of my own house and bedroom.
Dickinson's tried hard to fix some of the not so great academic habits he picked up learning from home.
This year, I took classes I really enjoyed, and I think it's more of an accomplishment that I finally found it, turned into a much more responsible student.
But Pertel says it does feel like there's still a hole. There's still a piece missing.
I think we kind of just lost out on like some fundamental skills or like maybe like just learning in general. And there might not be any time or way to really make that up.
Andrew says at this point, she's just thankful the pandemic didn't hit during her junior or senior year.
I think about like the times I had the past couple years, and that's what I'm excited about. Like, I still got to go to prom. I still get to have a regular graduation.
She had friends and cousins who missed out on the celebrations of high school, like prom and graduation. But they're grateful they'll get to hug their friends and teachers and say goodbye on their own terms. Shockey at Freeport says he's ready to move on to the next chapter, but it's worth reflecting one more time on the unique challenges the class of 2023 faced.
Unless you are in it with us, you don't really understand how much of a mental health toll it actually took, and then how much strength and perseverance it took to stay on top of it and get to where we are today, graduating.
I'm Peter Medlin.
And finally, in your forecast, meteorologist Andrew Pritchard says today will be partly cloudy with a chance of showers and thunderstorms and a high of 80 degrees. That's it for today. Reporting today contributed by Alex Stegman, Awa Iqbal, Maria Gardner-Lara, Sarah Fentum, Jim Meadows, and Peter Medlin. Music by the Kilbourne Alley Blues Band. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. I'm Farrah Anderson. 217 Today is a production of Illinois Public Media. Thanks for listening, stay safe, and we'll talk to you again on Monday. Have a good weekend.